Sickle cell disease may be treated in the future by using a dietary supplement. That's the hope of scientists in Tanzania. They're studying and caring for 2,500 patients, and they hope to find out what triggers the disease to be far more aggressive in some than others. In particular, they think malnutrition and genes could hold the key to understanding this. In her research lab at the Muhimbili University of Health in Dar es Salaam, Dr. Sharon Cox gave me the details.
I've been based here since 2007 when I came with a project which was to look at how nutrition and the genetic background of individuals affects the clinical expression of sickle cell disease, and that some patients have severe disease and some patients have mild disease and we don't know why. And then from that study and my time here, we've seen that many of the patients are malnourished, and so we need to tackle that malnutrition. But by doing that, in what's used in Africa a lot now, increasingly, is something called ready-to-use supplementary foods. And these are products that have a very long shelf life, are packaged individually, can be eaten at any time very easily by kids, and ideally are made using local ingredients, so they're sustainable. And we thought, well, if we were going to use those to treat the malnutrition, these are also an ideal vehicle to add in other things that might actually help the sickle cell process itself and reduce some of the disease symptoms. And so we designed a trial where we're looking at using one of these ready-to-use supplementary foods and adding in extra ingredients, in this case, high levels of two amino acids, which are naturally occurring, but you could never normally consume the levels that are required to get the pharmacological action we're looking at included in the supplement.
And so primarily, you've been looking at sickle cell patients.
Yes, we think is the largest cohort of patients with sickle cell disease, probably in the world and certainly in Africa. Most of our patients are children, but not all. We don't yet have birth screening, so cases are not detected at birth. We wait for basically children to get symptoms, and then they either come to us voluntarily, parents bring them, or they're referred to us and then we test, and if they have sickle cell they get enrolled into our cohort if they want to participate.
How have you been going about looking at this malnutrition in the sickle cell population?
Well, we measure children's height and weight every time we see them at the routine clinics. And then we've just been analysing that data and sort of seeing how well they grow. And I had a Tanzanian student who did her research project where she looked at pubertal status in our patients here compared to urban non-sickle cell Tanzanian children. And what she found was that puberty is very, very delayed in our children. And that's certainly due to the malnutrition, but probably also sickle cell itself as well.
And what kind of things have you been seeing then?
The most common cause of hospital admission is pain, which is common to most sickle cell patients. Pain and also severe anemia. So for us, what we found is that when patients are first enrolled, their biggest risk factor for us is having a low hemoglobin at baseline, and that's the biggest predictor of mortality.
And what are the options then for people who have presented here with that?
When children or adults are admitted, then they will be managed and given pain medication. And often they won't seek treatment unless the pain is extremely severe. And even then, pain medication is often insufficient. And that's actually one of the outcomes that is a secondary outcome of the trial I want to look at, is whether the intervention can reduce the severity of pain. And we're actually going to try and do some very detailed assessments of pain using home diaries so that we capture the true burden of pain, because we know that the majority of patients will often experience sort of mild chronic background pain for which is never captured by hospital-based information.
Tell me a little bit more about what this nutritional supplement is.
We've been awarded a Wellcome Trust funded project to test a ready-to-use supplementary food to use in sickle cell patients. It's individually packaged and it's lipid-based with a long shelf life and made using locally available ingredients.
And what kind of impacts could this have on the treatment of the disease in a country like Tanzania?
So many patients with sickle cell disease experience malnutrition and low growth, which obviously has impacts on their general health. And also we would hope that the ingredients that we want to add and test to these would actually reduce the symptoms of sickle cell, which are the pain, the severity of the anemia and other symptoms.
You're still at an early stage with your research, but what are your hopes for the future? What impacts do you think you can make?
Well, I really hope that if we can show that this intervention is effective, then it would be the next affordable intervention. It can easily be scaled up. There are already government programs which are using ready-to-use supplementary foods and distributing them across the country. Then there would be no reason why adding one that is modified for sickle cell patients couldn't be easily included within that at very little extra cost.
Dr. Sharon Cox of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine speaking to me in her office at the Muhimbili Hospital in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. For Audio News, I'm Sarah Maxwell.